Welcome to Microbiology Roundtable. I'm Dr. Caitlin Scott, and today we're diving into a topic that's not just fascinating, but also crucial for our health, zoonoses and those quirky bacterial infections that come along with them. You know, it's like a plot twist in a mystery novel.
Absolutely, Caitlin. Zoonoses are diseases that jump from animals to humans, and they can sometimes bring along some unexpected friends, like unusual bacteria. It's a bit like finding out your favorite sci-fi character has a hidden backstory you never knew about.
Right on, Olivia. These infections can have significant implications for public health, especially as we see more interactions between humans and wildlife. It's like a complex web of connections that we need to untangle.
Exactly. And as we explore this topic, we'll discover how these bacteria behave and how they manage to slip into our lives. Spoiler alert, it's not always as straightforward as it seems.
So true. The mechanisms of transmission can be quite intricate, and understanding them is key to preventing outbreaks. It's all written in the code of their biology.
Let's follow the cascade of events that lead to these infections. By the end of this episode, we hope to shed light on how we can better protect ourselves and our communities.
All right, let's get started. Grab your magnifying glasses, folks. We're on the case of zoonoses and their unusual bacterial buddies. All right, let's dive into the world of zoonoses. So, what exactly are we talking about when we say zoonoses? Simply put, these are diseases that can be transmitted from animals to humans. It's like an uninvited guest crashing a party. Sometimes they bring chaos along with them.
Fair point, Caitlin. Zoonoses can be classified in various ways. For instance, they can be viral, bacterial, or even parasitic. Each type has its own unique characteristics and transmission routes. It's a bit like sorting your favorite movies into genres.
No kidding. The transmission mechanisms can be quite complex. They can occur directly, like through bites or scratches, or indirectly through contaminated food or water. It's fascinating how these pathways connect our health with animal health.
Speaking of connections, let's not forget the factors that contribute to the emergence of these diseases. Changes in land use, climate change, and even urbanization can all play a role. It's like a domino effect. One change leads to another.
Exactly. And when we consider the rise of zoonotic diseases, it's essential to recognize that our interactions with wildlife are increasing. More people are venturing into natural habitats, which can lead to new exposures. It's a reminder that we're all part of this interconnected ecosystem.
Let's follow the cascade of events that lead to these outbreaks. Understanding these dynamics is crucial for developing effective prevention strategies. It's like mapping out a complex flowchart, where each step can influence the next.
Right on. So, as we continue our discussion, keep in mind how these infections can emerge and spread. It's all part of the bigger picture we're painting today. So, let's jump into the characteristics of these unusual bacterial infections. Picture this. You've got bacteria that are not your everyday culprits. Take Brucella, for example. It's a tiny, sneaky organism that can hide out in various animal hosts and cause some serious trouble for humans. It's like a master of disguise.
Spot on, Caitlin. Brucella is fascinating because it can evade the immune system quite effectively. Its ability to replicate inside immune cells makes it particularly tricky. It's almost like it's playing hide and seek, but we're the ones who end up seeking for answers.
No kidding. And let's not overlook Francisella tularensis, the bacteria responsible for tularemia. This one's a real overachiever. It can survive in harsh environments and is highly infectious. Just a few bacteria can cause disease, which is why it's considered a potential bioterrorism agent.
Right. It's like a villain in a superhero movie, small but incredibly powerful. These bacteria often have unique environmental niches too. They thrive in specific conditions that allow them to persist and spread.
Speaking of niches, their morphology is also interesting. Many of these unusual bacteria are gram-negative, which affects how they interact with our immune systems. It's all written in the code of their structure.
Let's follow the cascade of how these characteristics impact their pathogenicity. Understanding their unique traits helps us develop better diagnostic and treatment strategies. It's like piecing together a complex puzzle.
Absolutely. And as we explore these unusual bacterial characters, we'll uncover how they fit into the larger story of zoonoses. So stay tuned. All right, let's dig into the pathogenesis of these unusual bacterial infections. So how do these sneaky microbes actually cause disease? Well, it often starts with their ability to invade host cells. For instance, Brucella can enter immune cells and replicate inside them, which is a clever tactic to avoid detection. It's like a burglar hiding in plain sight.
Fair point, Caitlin. Once inside, these bacteria can manipulate the host's immune response. They produce factors that can suppress immune signaling, making it harder for our bodies to fight back. It's almost like they've got a cheat code.
No kidding. The clinical manifestations can vary widely. For example, with tularemia caused by Francisella tularensis, symptoms can range from fever and chills to more severe respiratory issues. It's a bit like a chameleon, changing its appearance based on the environment.
Speaking of symptoms, let's not forget that some of these infections can lead to chronic conditions. Brucellosis, for instance, can linger and cause long-term complications like arthritis or even reproductive issues. It's a plot twist that keeps on giving.
Right on. Understanding these manifestations is crucial for timely diagnosis and treatment. The earlier we recognize the signs, the better the outcomes. It's all written in the code of our immune response and how these bacteria interact with it.
Let's follow the cascade of events that lead to these symptoms. By mapping out the pathogenesis, we can better anticipate complications and tailor our treatment strategies. It's like having a roadmap for navigating a complex landscape.
Exactly. So, as we explore the next segment, keep in mind how these bacteria play their games within our bodies. It's a fascinating battle of wits. So, let's dive into the diagnosis of zoonotic infections. This can be quite the puzzle, right? Given the unusual nature of these pathogens, pinpointing the exact infection often requires a combination of methods. For starters, serological tests can be a great way to detect specific antibodies in the blood. It's like looking for clues in a mystery novel.
Fair point, Caitlin. Serological tests are useful, but they're not foolproof. Some infections can take time to produce detectable antibodies, which means we might miss the diagnosis initially. It's a bit like trying to find a hidden Easter egg before it's fully revealed.
No kidding. Cultures are another key diagnostic tool. Growing the bacteria from a sample can provide definitive identification. However, some of these unusual bacteria, like Brucella, can be slow-growing, which poses its own challenges. It's like waiting for a slow-cooked meal. You know it'll be worth it, but patience is key.
Speaking of patience, molecular techniques like PCR are game changers. They can detect the genetic material of the bacteria, making it easier to diagnose infections quickly. It's like having a superpower that lets you see what's really going on.
Right on. But we also have to consider the clinical context. Symptoms can overlap between different zoonotic infections, which complicates diagnosis. It's essential to take a thorough patient history and consider exposure risks. It's all written in the code of their medical background.
Let's follow the cascade of diagnostic methods. By integrating these approaches, we can improve our chances of catching these infections early and accurately. It's like assembling a team of superheroes to tackle a formidable foe.
Exactly. So, as we move forward, keep in mind how these diagnostic tools work together to unveil the mysteries of zoonotic infections. It's a fascinating journey. All right, let's talk about treatment and management strategies for these zoonotic infections. When it comes to unusual bacteria like Brucella or Francisella, the first line of defense is often antibiotic therapy. But here's the twist. Some of these bacteria can be resistant to common antibiotics, which makes treatment a bit tricky.
Fair point, Caitlin. For instance, Brucella infections typically require a combination of antibiotics over an extended period. It's like a long-term commitment. You want to make sure you're fully addressing the infection.
No kidding. Supportive care is also crucial. Patients may need symptom management, especially if they're dealing with complications like joint pain or fatigue. It's all about ensuring the body has the resources to heal.
Speaking of resources, public health measures play a vital role in controlling outbreaks. Vaccination for at-risk populations, surveillance of animal health, and educating communities can help prevent the spread of these infections. It's like building a fortress around our health.
Right on. And let's not forget the importance of early detection. The sooner we identify and treat these infections, the better the outcomes. It's all written in the code of timely intervention.
Let's follow the cascade of treatment strategies. By integrating antibiotics, supportive care, and public health initiatives, we create a comprehensive approach to managing zoonotic infections. It's like orchestrating a symphony where every instrument plays a crucial role.
Exactly. So, as we move forward, keep in mind how these strategies work together to protect public health. It's a fascinating interplay of science and community effort. So, let's explore the public health implications of zoonoses. These infections are more than just individual health concerns. They're a community issue. When zoonotic diseases emerge, they can spread rapidly, affecting not just people, but also animals and the environment. It's like a ripple effect in a pond. One disturbance can create waves.
Fair point, Caitlin. Surveillance is crucial in this context. Monitoring animal populations for signs of disease helps us catch potential outbreaks before they spread to humans. It's a proactive approach, almost like having a security system in place.
No kidding. Vaccination programs are another vital component. By immunizing at-risk populations, we can significantly reduce the incidence of zoonotic diseases. It's like putting on armor to protect against invaders.
Speaking of protection, education plays a key role too. Informing the public about zoonotic risks and safe practices can empower communities. It's all about creating a culture of awareness and prevention.
Right on. The One Health approach is particularly interesting. It integrates human, animal, and environmental health, recognizing that they're all interconnected. It's like a three-legged stool. If one leg is weak, the whole thing can topple.
Let's follow the cascade of these public health strategies. By combining surveillance, vaccination, and education, we can build a robust defense against zoonotic diseases. It's a comprehensive strategy that requires collaboration across various sectors.
Exactly. So, as we wrap up this segment, keep in mind how these public health implications shape our understanding and response to zoonoses. It's a fascinating interplay of science and community effort. All right, let's wrap up our discussion with some key takeaways about zoonoses and unusual bacterial infections. We've covered a lot of ground today, from understanding how these infections emerge to the public health strategies we can implement. One major point is that zoonoses are not just individual health issues, they're a community concern that requires a collective response. It's like a team sport. Everyone needs to play their part.
Spot on, Caitlin. We've also emphasized the importance of surveillance and vaccination. By keeping an eye on animal health and immunizing at-risk populations, we can significantly reduce the risk of zoonotic diseases spilling over into humans. It's all about being proactive rather than reactive.
No kidding. The One Health approach really highlights how interconnected human, animal, and environmental health are. When we think about these systems as a cohesive unit, we can develop more effective strategies for prevention and control. It's like connecting the dots in a complex puzzle.
Speaking of puzzles, let's remember that education is key. Informing communities about zoonotic risks and safe practices empowers them to take action. Knowledge is power, after all.
Right on. As we conclude, I hope our listeners walk away with a deeper understanding of the complexities surrounding zoonotic infections. It's all written in the code of our interactions with the world around us.
Let's follow the cascade of information we've shared today. By applying these insights, we can contribute to a healthier future for everyone. Thanks for joining us on this journey.
There's always a microbe behind the curtain, and together we can uncover the mysteries they hold. Until next time.